WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Christians have
their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Havana Aguilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Romantics play
Clair de Lune.
Clair de Lune.
Born again, sing He is Risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing
a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule.
The He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase.
Some folks sing
a baccantata.
Baccantata.
Lutherans get Christmas trees. Atheist songs add up to nada.
Up to nada.
But they do have Sundays free.
Have Sundays free.
Pentecostals sing. They sing to heaven.
Sing to heaven.
Coptics have the Book of Scrolls. Numerologists count. They count to seven.
Five, six, seven.
Atheists have rock and roll.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule.
The He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase.
Atheists don't have no songs.
Christians have
their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Havana Aguilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Catholics dress up for Mass
and listen to
Gregorian chants.
Atheists just take a pass.
Watch football in their underpants.
Atheists
don't have no
sign.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.
From KUT and KUTX Studios.
From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
It is important as mayors that we maintain and even enhance our connection to the people that we serve. We have to become our best communicators. And what I have learned over the last 8 years as mayor is that I have to be out there talking directly to the people. I have to be amongst them and tell what we are doing, listen to them, be accessible to them, and then hope that they too become your ambassadors. And so when they are seeing or reading stories, they themselves can say, that's not true.
Mayor Sylvester Turner of Houston, Texas. This past summer, the city of Houston played host to the National Urban League Annual Conference. The conference brought together major leaders from the business, government, and social advocacy sectors and served as a center for policymakers, political activists, and others to meet and exchange ideas, network, and develop strategies to address a broad range of issues. The National Urban League is a historic civil rights organization dedicated to economic empowerment in order to elevate the standard of living in historically underserved urban communities. The organization spearheads the efforts of its 92 local affiliates through the development of program, public policy, research, and advocacy, providing direct services that impact and improve the lives of more than 2 million people annually nationwide. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the African-American mayors of the nation's four largest cities in Black America.
Well, you know, following up on what you were saying, I believe that in our communities, we've worked for years and know the strategies to intervene and prevent crime. There's always the rap that Black folks are upset if it's a law enforcement involved death, but say nothing when it's Black on Black, which I reject that notion. That is not true. But unfortunately, the grassroots work that happens in all of our communities is never lifted up, and we need to invest more in that. When we went through the time period of mass incarceration, which is not like it's over, but it's a little bit different now, you know, laws were passed to lock us up for everything under the sun, including what I believe were health, social, and economic issues that should not have required incarceration.
Mayor Karen Bass of Los Angeles, California. The first two African-American mayors were elected in 1868, the year the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution was adopted. However, it would take another 100 years for an African-American to be elected mayor of a large U.S. city. In 1970, Newark, New Jersey, and Dayton, Ohio, both elected African-American Democrats as mayors. During the 1970s, cities like Tallahassee, Cincinnati, Detroit, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and New Orleans elected their first African-American mayors. Today, more than one-third of America's top 100 cities are governed by African-Americans, many of them men, women. Also today, the four largest cities in America are led by African-American mayors. This past summer, the National Urban League held its annual conference in Houston, Texas. On the second day of the conference, President and CEO Mark Morial held a fireside chat with Mayor Sylvester Turner of Houston, Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, Mayor Karen Bass of Los Angeles, California, and Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago, Illinois.
Ladies and gentlemen, first time on stage, these four represent experience, power, and promise. So let's give it up for these four great mayors of major American cities. Now, Mayor Turner.
Yes, sir.
You're the OG here now. Brother Turner, because of this thing called term limits, you don't have them in Chicago.
Don't even bring it up.
Hi, this is Kevin Amos, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Welcome to this week's edition of Ebony Spectrum.
Professor Ron Daniels is the president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. And this is from the desk of the professor.
I received the stunning news that Joe Madison, the legendary Black Eagle, was our newest ancestor in Dallas, Texas. Joe Madison was a towering figure in the storied annals of Black talk radio. In the early days of his career, when he burst onto the stage in Washington, D.C., Joe rapidly gained the respect of the audience as an uncompromising advocate for Black people who intentionally and famously dressed in Black. Joe's staunch defense of the interests and aspirations of Black people was frequently accompanied by calls to action to advance issues of vital concern to our people. Going out on a picket line was not unusual for the Black Eagle. Joe Madison was a member of the National Board of Directors for the NAACP. Hence, he was not just a talk show host. He was a racial and social justice activist. In an interview with Joe, I called him a radio activist. He loved it and embraced it. The Black Eagle became the must-listen talk show host for Black America and anyone, friend or foe, who wanted to know what's going on with Black folks in America and the world. The Black Eagle would frequently adopt a cause and strenuously advocate for it until victory was won. He recently went on a prolonged fast to call attention to the urgent need for Congress to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill. His listeners responded because he had the gift of putting it where the goats could get it, as Joe would say. I fondly remember the Black Eagle going to Haiti with the Haiti Support Project after the devastating earthquake that rocked the First Black Republic. He broadcasted live reports. Joe turned the interviews from his journey with us to Haiti into an award-winning documentary. Such was the commitment and talent of the Black Eagle. We take comfort and inspiration in knowing that the legacy of our newest ancestor is secure. Joe Madison was and is one of the greatest and most effective radio activists ever. The Black Eagle will never die. He will always fly soar in the memories of a grateful people. We proclaim, long live the life and legacy of Joe Madison, the Black Eagle.
That viewpoint was ripped from the desk of the professor, Ron Daniels.
Radio personality and civil rights advocate Joe Madison has passed away. Madison spent years working with the NAACP before launching his broadcast career. He was a longtime radio voice here in D.C. and nationally on Sirius XM Radio. Madison made public his diagnosis with prostate cancer back in 2009. News 4's Mark Seagraves remembers Madison, who was part of our News 4 family.
Known as the Black Eagle, Joe Madison took his passion for justice from the civil rights movement to the airwaves.
No. Listen, brother, you and my on my school bus.
Madison was known for frequently posing the question, what are you going to do about it?
As he comes from a tradition of activism, and he understands that change only occurs when people actively take part in some form of movement or some form of struggle.
WAMU Radio's Kojo Nambi remembers Madison as a voice for those without one.
That passion is what characterized Joe Madison's entire career. This is a man who went on hunger strikes in support of causes that he was invested in. When you listened to Joe Madison, you picked up that passion yourself.
While in Detroit at age 24, Madison was the youngest person to lead an NAACP chapter. He went on to serve as the Civil Rights Organization's national political director and board member. In 1980, Madison began his radio career in Detroit before moving to Philadelphia and then D.C., where he appeared on WOL Radio before joining Sirius XM in 2008. In 2015, Madison set the Guinness World Record for the longest on-air broadcast, 52 hours straight. During the record-breaking show, he raised more than $250,000 for the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture. Madison was part of the News 4 family, appearing on our public affairs show, Reporter's Notebook.